Hello there, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and welcome to podcast number 7 on using the Macintosh and VoiceOver. And we've got a lot to cover in this podcast. Here's what's coming up in this one. First, I'm going to show you something I've actually been wanting to show you for a while, but it just was never available when I was recording these podcasts, and that's the software update, how you download and install software updates on the Mac. So I'll be able to show you that this time because there are a couple of updates. So we'll cover that. And that's definitely going to be something you're going to want to do as soon as you get a new Mac. You'll remember last time, if you listened to podcast number 6, we looked at how to turn on VoiceOver in the store and how to navigate around so you could try out a Macintosh in the store, and then how to enable the numeric keypad and use that to make things easier. Well, on this one, I'm going to show you some other stuff you'll want to do probably as soon as you get your Mac home and get through the setup screen and that type of thing. And this is definitely something you're going to want to do, and that's the software updates. So I'll show you that. And we will look at the system preferences. I know I've kind of mentioned those in the past and, you know, shown you a couple of things maybe here and there. So we'll go through that, the whole thing, or at least what's relevant, some things that you may want to change, being a speech user. So we'll look at that, and I'll show you a couple of Finder preferences also then that you may want to change, particularly so you can see the file extensions, how to change file associations, and then I will show you the two different ways that applications are installed on the Macintosh. So we've got a lot to cover in this podcast, so it might seem kind of overwhelming at first, but just take your time. Feel free to listen to this again, you know, any part that you might not understand. And, you know, that way you can kind of go at your own pace. Okay, let's start out then with the software update. And this is actually quite a bit easier. For those of you that are Windows users, of course, you can have automatic updates, and the Macintosh will do that too. Although, me personally, and this is just a personal preference, I like to get the updates manually, just because that way I know exactly what's getting downloaded, I know, you know, what's being installed. That way, if there ever is a problem, which you're unlikely to have on the Mac, I'd be more inclined to think you would with Windows. But then you know what's, you know, you have a good way of isolating the problem. But certainly, if you want to do automatic updates, the Mac has that capability, as does Windows. But of course, in Windows, when you do the manual updates, you have to go through a web page and navigate that, and it's just it's kind of cluttered. Well, the Macintosh, it's by far easier, and I want to spend a little time here and show you kind of how the software update process works. So I'm sitting on the desktop. I just booted up my Mac, and what I'm going to do here is go to the Apple menu with Control F2. That's the Mac OS command for going to the menu bar. It's the equivalent of the Windows Alt key. And actually, on the Mac side, you can change that if you really want to. And we'll look at that more when we get to System Preferences. But the default is Control F2, and I see no reason to change that. So I'm going to press that, and that's going to take us to the Apple menu. And then we'll go ahead and open that menu, and we'll go to Software Update. So let's go ahead and hit Control F2 here.
Menu bar, Apple.
Okay. And we'll go ahead and press the down arrow key to open that menu and go down to Software Update and press Enter.
Apple menu. About his Mac. System Profiler, ellipsis. Software Update, ellipsis.
And whenever it says software ellipsis, that means it's going to open a dialog box. Let me go ahead and slow the speech down one notch for those of you that may have trouble understanding it.
Volume 100, pitch 40, rate 40%. 26%.
There we go. Okay, I believe we're still sitting on software update. Let's double check that.
Software update ellipsis has keyboard focus.
There we go. And press enter.
Software Macintosh HD software update window software update. Checking for new software has keyboard focus. 45.6% progress. If checking for new software.
I was just using the VoiceOver cursor there to read. If there are no updates, it'll just say it doesn't have anything, and then you'll just have a quit button that you select, and it'll
take you out. Table 1 row selected. Row 1. Image. Install. Checked checkbox. Name. iTunes. Version 8.1. Size 65.4 megabytes.
Okay, so we're in a table here. This is the list of updates that are available. It's much like a Finder window, and it's just a table. Let's go ahead and just read this whole window, though, with the voiceover cursor. And if you'll remember from the last time, I showed you how to enable the numeric keypad to navigate. So that's what I'm going to use here. It's much easier than having to hold the control and the option keys. So let's just press a numpad 7 to go to the top of the window.
New software is available for your computer.
Okay, and let's just use a numpad 6 here, and we'll just read this an item at a time.
Installing this software may take some time. If you're not ready to install now, you can choose software update from the Apple menu later.
Okay.
Table.
And there's the table that we were on, reading that, and we're sitting on the iTunes, one. Now, we could interact with this table if we wanted to.
Interact with table on selected row 1. Image install. Checked checkbox.
That's what we were on before.
iTunes version 8.1.
Okay.
Stop interacting with table.
So I'll stop interacting with that for now, and let's see what else is in this window.
Horizontal splitter. HTML content.
Okay, you'll notice it says HTML content there. What that is, whatever item is highlighted, in the table, in this case it's the new version of iTunes, you'll have an HTML content area there. And if we interact with that, it provides a description of each update. So let's go ahead and interact with that HTML content area, and let's see what this iTunes update is.
Interact with HTML content. iTunes 8.1 is now faster and more responsive. You will enjoy noticeable improvements when working with large libraries, browsing the iTunes store, preparing to sync with iPod or iPhone, and optimizing photos for syncing.
Okay, we just do numpad 6 here to go to the next item.
In addition, iTunes 8.1 provides many other improvements and bug fixes, including bullet support syncing with iPod Shuffle 3rd generation.
By the way, speaking of the iPod Shuffle 3rd generation, that is the new version of the iPod Shuffle that has just come out, and it also has the speaking capability, just like the new iPod Nano does. So, for those of you that are interested in that, it is accessible out of the box, just like the iPod Nano is. And way to go, Apple, for that. That's awesome.
Bullet allows friends to request songs for iTunes DJ. Bullet adds Genius sidebar for your movies and TV shows. Bullet improves performance when downloading iTunes Plus songs. Bullet provides autofill for manually managed iPods. Bullet allows CDs to be imported at the same sound quality as iTunes Plus. Bullet includes many accessibility improvements.
Oh, that's always good.
Bullet allows iTunes U and the iTunes Store to be disabled separately using parental controls. For information on the security content of this update, please visit this website. Link, http://support.apple.com/kb/ht1222.
Okay.
Link,
And that's the end of that HTML content, so if we wanted to, we could select that and read that security update, but I don't see a need to do that in this case. Okay, let's stop interacting with that HTML area.
Stop interacting with HTML content.
Okay.
Note, use of this software is subject to the original software license agreement S that accompanied the software being updated. A list of Apple SLAs may be found here, http://www.apple.com/legal/SLA/text.
Okay.
Blank text. Image. Blank text. Install two items button. Install two items
button. And that's the bottom of the window. Okay. Let's go back to that table, and there are a couple ways to do that. We can just shift-tab back to it, because our keyboard focus is actually on that install button now, because if you've heard the previous podcast too, you remember by default you can disable this, but when you use your voiceover cursor to read, your system focus also follows the voiceover cursor when it can. So let's just shift tab back to that table and see what the second update is.
Note, use HTML checked checkbox. Install two item, table 1 row selected, row 2. Image install. Checked checkbox. Name. Front row update. Version 2.1.7. Size 13.3 megabytes.
All right, let's see what that update actually is. So we'll just use the voiceover cursor and go back to that HTML content area.
Horizontal HTML content.
And let's interact with that.
Interact with text. 65 characters. Currently on stop interacting. Stop interacting. HTML content. Interact with text. 65 characters. Currently on line 1.
Okay, let's see.
This front row update provides improved iTunes 8.1 compatibility.
Okay, well, that goes hand in hand then, I guess. All right.
Stop interacting
so,
with HTML content.
That's the two updates that we've got here. Let's go ahead and download and install these. Why not? It shouldn't take too long on a broadband connection, so we can do this a couple of ways. We can just tab to the install button, or we can just use the voiceover cursor to get there. I'll just use the voiceover cursor in this case. And probably can just go down to the bottom of the window, I think.
Install two items button.
There we go. And I'll just select that.
Press authentication window. Secure edit text.
Okay, and to install the updates, you do have to put in your password here. Of course, in Windows, too, you have to be logged on as an administrator, so both operating systems require admin rights for that, and the Mac does ask you to authenticate, so I'll just type that in here and press Enter.
Software update license agreement, iTunes.
And there's a license agreement here for iTunes. We can just tab to I agree here, I think.
Disagree button, agree button.
There we go. Select that.
Table 1 row. Window, software update, stop button.
All right, let's see how this is doing.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, downloading iTunes.
Okay, and it's going pretty fast. It's about a 60 megabyte file, I think. So it will it'll take just a moment here. While it's downloading, I'll give you some other quick news on Apple stuff. I already mentioned the iPod Shuffle, but they've got some new Macs out, and in particular, the Mac Mini, which is the one I have, but they have some new ones out, and the cheapest one is now $599, and that's actually the one that I've got, although I paid a little more for it. But the $599 one now has 1 gig of RAM, a 2 gigahertz dual-core processor, I believe it's 120 gig hard drive, DVD burner, the Wi-Fi, the Bluetooth, the whole works, and the $799 Mac Mini has 2 gigs of RAM that comes with it and a 320 gig hard drive. So,
40s downloading iTunes.
Okay, it's still downloading.
Downloading iTunes.
Still downloading here.
Downloading iTunes.
For those of you who are thinking about maybe getting a Mac, it's even cheaper now to get one. And the Mac Mini is really a good one. And for those especially getting started, and especially for a blind person, it's a good one because there's no display. You can connect one if you want to, but you're not paying for one that you may not use. So definitely something to think about, especially considering the cheapest one is now $599. And, of course, they're all accessible. Okay, let's see how this download's coming along.
50.
Okay, it's almost 50, done.
Downloading iTunes.
And then it'll download the front row update.
60, downloading iTunes.
Okay, it's at 60-something megs here, so it's humming along.
65.31, 31, 3, 4, 6, 8, downloading front row update.
Okay, it's downloading the front row update, and that's a bit less. That's only 13 megs. But that's how the software update works. Very easy to use. Much easier than the Windows Update web page, in my opinion. And, of course, when you first get your Mac, there'll be quite a few software updates. So pretty much just keep coming back and checking for updates until it says there are no more. And I'll even do that here once this restarts to make sure we've got everything, until it tells you that there's not anything else.
11, 12, downloading front row update.
Okay, this is almost done.
Expanding, verify, preparing target, running iTunes installer script. Configuring installation, running installer script. Writing. Busy
okay.
Progress in write blank text. Stop dim button. Blank text.
Okay, and it's just coming along here.
Running installer script.
And it's grinding away, installing,
Write blank text.
And it kind of stutters there as it updates. If your voiceover cursor is sitting on an item, it will monitor that and read it as it changes or try to. Now this one didn't ask us to restart, at least not yet. Sometimes a lot of the updates will ask you to restart the computer also.
Blank text. The updates were installed successfully.
Oh, great.
Blank text. OK button. Press. Interact with dialog for window. Software update. Checking for new software.
Okay.
Closing dialog. Installing this software may take some time. If you're not table. Horizontal.
Oh, is there something
table.
Else? Let's see.
Interact with table on selected row 2. Image install. Checkbox name front row update version 2.1.7 size 13.3 megabytes image.
I can't tell if that's something that it already did or if it's something else here. Let's see.
Table 1 row selected, row 2, row 1. Image install. Dimmed unchecked checkbox name iTunes version row 2.
Yeah, okay.
Image install. Dimmed unchecked checkbox name front row update version 2.1 HTML content. Table 1
okay,
row
so we
selected,
can probably quit out of
row
here.
2, Finder, Macintosh
okay.
HD.
Now, it didn't ask us to restart. I'm going to go ahead and check for updates one more time, though, just to make sure that we got everything.
Menu bar, Apple, app of system, software update, ellipsis, software, Macintosh HD, selected, Macintosh HD, selected, software
and I just
update,
did the same thing that we did a minute
window,
ago.
Software update, checking for new software has keyboard focus. Your software is up to date. Software update doesn't have any new software for your computer at this time.
Okay. And we should just be on the quit button here.
Quit button.
Yeah,
as keep closing
okay.
dialog.
All
Finder,
right.
Macintosh
so,
HD selected.
That is how the software update works. Very simple, very intuitive, and very, very easy to use. Okay. Well, one of the first things you're probably going to want to do is kind of customize your Mac a little bit when you first get through the setup screen and after you get all the software updates. And the way we do that is through System Preferences. You can think of System Preferences as the equivalent of the Windows Control Panel, if that will help you. So there are a couple of ways we can get to that. We can go down to the dock on the bottom of the screen, and the dock, again, is kind of a cross between the taskbar in Windows and the Quick Launch. That's one way to get there. Or we can do it through the Apple menu. In this case, I'll go ahead and go down to the dock. To do that, we do Control F3.
Finder running.
It says Finder running. This is where your applications that are running are stored, as well as, you know, you can put applications that you use frequently down there. So I've got a couple of things that start with S, but if I type SY pretty fast, it should take us right to System Preferences. Let's see.
System Preferences.
There we go. And in this case, we actually press Enter to go ahead and open that.
Find Macintosh System Preferences, Window, System Preferences, Toolbar.
Okay. You can certainly tab through this if you want to, but what I would recommend you use here is your voiceover cursor keys for most things, because there's going to be some intervening text you're going to need to read. Or you don't have to, I guess, but it'll explain some of the options. And you're also going to be, in order to go back, sometimes you have to choose an option to take you actually back to the previous screen. And the other thing, too, about the Mac, in a lot of cases, there is really no OK button that you have to select. Sometimes there is. But in this case, a lot of times when you make a selection, it takes effect right away. So the first thing you're probably going to want to do, mine is already set this way, but if you're first getting your Mac or if for whatever reason it isn't set this way, it's a good thing to do, is to set it so it shows you all of the system preferences alphabetically. And to do that, we actually need to go to the View menu. So we'll do Control F2 here to go to the menu bar.
Menu bar, Apple.
And we'll go over to View.
System Pref, Edit, View.
And down arrow to open that.
View, Menu, Back, Dimmed Command, Left Bracket, Forward, Dimmed Show All Preferences, Command, L.
Okay, Command L is a good thing to know because that will take you back to the preference list. When you're in something and you want to go back to the to the list, Command L will do that.
Organized by categories.
That's what it defaults to, I think.
Check mark. Organize alphabetically.
Organize alphabetically. You'll notice mine's already checked, but if yours isn't, you may want to go ahead and select that, and then you just press enter on it, which I'll do, although mine's already checked.
Organize alphabetically.
And that will put everything in alphabetical order for you. Okay, so let's go ahead and spend a little time and take a look at these preferences. I'll spend more time on some than on others, but I'll try to focus on the ones that are really important to you as a speech user. So I'm just going to use the voiceover cursor here again so we can read all of the intervening text and that type of thing. So the first one we should come to is accounts.
Scroll area. Scroll area.
Am I interacting with something? Let me see. Okay, I probably need to tab first to...
Accounts button.
There we go. Okay, so we're on accounts now, and that's where we need to go. So I'm just going to select that.
Press accounts button.
Okay, and it just kind of changes. This window is kind of dynamic, so it doesn't really open a new window necessarily. The window just kind of updates. Now, in this particular one, probably what's going to happen here, let me see if we need to authenticate again, because otherwise a lot of this may be grayed out. Let me just go to the bottom of the window.
Help button. Click the lock to make changes.
Yeah, it says click the lock to make changes. So you're going to need to click on that first. If you just read your window and you get to that.
I'll click the lock to make changes.
Click the lock to make changes.
Uncheck checkbox.
And we select that.
Check. Authentication. Window. Secure edit text.
And it will ask you for your password there. Just type that. If you didn't set up a password, if you decided not to, you can just go ahead and press enter here, and that you'd have the opportunity to do that during the setup process. Okay, so we get that typed, and we press enter here.
System preferences, window, accounts, click the lock to prevent further changes.
And then it says click the lock to prevent changes, and that would then lock it again, so you'd have to authenticate again. Okay, let's go to the top of the window. There's one option in particular in here that I want to show you.
Toolbar, accounts, groups and login options, list.
Okay, that's the one we need to look at, I think, so I'm going to go ahead and interact with that.
Interact with accounts, groups, and login options, list. Mike Arrigo, admin, group.
And that's me.
AX separator. Other accounts, table.
And I really don't have any other ones on here, but...
AX separator. Login options, group. Login options, group. Login options. Group.
Okay, that's the end of that, I guess. Let's stop interacting with that.
Stop interacting with accounts, groups, and login options, list. Automatic login. Mike Arrigo, automatic login, pop-up button. Display login window as list of users, selected radio button 1 of 2.
Okay, you can control if you have more than one account on here, you can control how it displays the login window. You can have it a list of users.
Name and password, radio button.
Name and password, where you have to type everything in.
Show the restart, sleep, and shutdown buttons, checked checkbox.
And that's a checkbox you can check or uncheck.
Show input menu and login window, unchecked checkbox. Show password hints, checked checkbox. Use voiceover at login window, checked checkbox.
Okay, that's the one that you'll want to check. It'll be unchecked by default when you first get your Mac, but you'll want to check that. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, if you have more than one account, you'll have speech then at the login screen. But the second reason is sometimes the updates that are installed, what will happen is it'll tell you it needs to restart, and then you say, restart, and what will happen then is it will actually log you out, but it will still continue to run while it installs the updates. If you have that checked, you'll then actually have speech during that install of the updates, and you'll be able to read the progress and that type of thing. So you definitely want to have that checked, and that's one of the first things you'll want to change in system preferences.
Enable fast user switching, unchecked checkbox.
That's a personal preference.
View as name, view as, add user button, delete user, dim button.
It's dim because I'm the only user on here, so there's nothing to delete.
Click the lock to prevent further changes button.
Okay, so that's the account screen.
Toolbar.
And
accounts,
the main thing, again, that I wanted to show you was that option about the running a
click the lock
voiceover at
back
at the button. At the login
show
screen.
All search text field insertion at beginning
okay.
of text add user button.
So that's that. We can go ahead and
list of users
go back
selected radio
to the main screen. There is another item here too, login items. If you want to do that, basically you can have a program automatically open up whenever you log in. That's basically the equivalent in Windows of putting something in the startup, and it'll automatically run at startup. So I believe if we press Command L here, this should take us back to the list of preferences here. Let's see.
Show all preferences.
Yeah, show all preferences. Okay.
Close button. Minimize system toolbar. Scroll.
Okay,
area.
So now, after accounts...
Caps lock, lock, off.
Well, that assumes I can press the right key.
Account,
okay.
Appearance button.
Appearance, let's go ahead and
press,
take a look in there.
Window, appearance, toolbar.
Okay.
Appearance, blue, appearance.
Most of this isn't going to be very relevant. It's just the colors and that type of thing.
Toolbar, appearance.
But I do want to show you what's all in the system preferences here, so we'll just kind of glance through this.
Blue, appearance, pop, for the overall look of buttons, menus and windows. Highlight color, blue, highlight color, pop-up button, for selected text, place scroll arrows.
Okay, this is an interesting one. It doesn't really matter as far as voiceover is concerned, but place the scroll arrows.
Together, radio button one of two.
Together or
at top and bottom selected radio
at top and bottom
two.
And that's more kind of how Windows does it. So if you'd rather it look a little more like, you know, Windows, if you can see it all, you may want to go ahead and select that if you're more comfortable with it. But again, the one good thing, some of the Windows screen readers are a little more sensitive to how you set your themes and stuff like that. VoiceOver is not. I've still disabled a couple of visual things just because I think it runs a little bit faster, but it won't affect VoiceOver's performance at all.
Click in the scroll bar to jump to the next page. Selected radio button one of two.
And click in the scroll bar. That's mainly a mouse thing. With VoiceOver, of course, you can scroll windows without even having to worry about that.
Jump to here, radio button 2 of 2. Use smooth scrolling, uncheck checkbox.
I'd go ahead and uncheck that. Of course, on mine it's already unchecked. It's a visual effect, and it really serves no purpose if you can't see the screen.
Minimize when double-clicking the window title bar, uncheck checkbox. Number of recent items.
Number of recent items.
None. Recent applications.
And I've got that
pop-up button.
I've got that turned off because I never really use that, but that's a personal preference.
Applications. None. Recent documents, pop-up button. Documents. None. Recent servers, pop-up button.
This is just all recent things.
Servers. Font smoothing style. Automatic. Best for main display. Font smoothing style. Pop-up button. Turn off text smoothing for font sizes. 4. Font sizes, pop-up button, and smaller. Help button.
Okay. And there is a help thing there, too, on each window. If you do need help, you can select that, and it will put up a HTML window that you can read, and I'll show you that on one of these. But let's look at one that's a little less complicated for that. This one's mainly visual stuff. There's, of course, a couple of options there that I mentioned that you might want to change, but other than that, you know, changing the colors and stuff, there's really no need to do that. Okay, let's do Command L, and let's go back to the main preference window.
Window, system preference, account, appearance. Bluetooth button.
Okay, Bluetooth. There is something in here that I do want to show you, so let's go in there.
Window, Bluetooth, toolbar.
And let's go to the top of the window.
Toolbar.
Okay.
Bluetooth icon, image, name not available. On, unchecked checkbox.
And I got my Bluetooth turned off at the moment.
Discoverable, dimmed, unchecked checkbox.
And you may want to keep that off. That way your Macintosh isn't transmitting all the time. You know, and that makes sure that nobody can, you know, connect to your system without your knowledge.
No devices. Set up new device button. Setup new device, dimmed. Delete selected device, dimmed button. Perform tasks with the selected device, dimmed menu button. Show Bluetooth status in the menu bar, checked checkbox.
Okay, what that is, show Bluetooth status in the menu bar. There is a series of little menus. I don't know if I ever showed you this on the previous podcasts or not. If I haven't, I will show them to you. It's what's called the status menus. It's basically things like your wireless. It's almost, though it acts a little bit differently, but the things it has in it are very similar to what would be in the system tray in Windows. And let's finish looking at this window, and then I'll show you that. I'll show you those status menus. But that's what it's referring to if you want to see the Bluetooth in the in those status menus. And I've got that checked here.
File sharing setup button, advanced button, help button, help button.
And let's just look at the help for this Bluetooth. I'll show you how that works. If you do have a question on any of these system preferences, select this help button, and it will open part of the help in the Macintosh. And it's an HTML window, so you read it like a web page. But let's go ahead and do that here.
Press help button. Help viewer. Window. Bluetooth help. HTML content has keyboard focus.
And it's an HTML content area, so let's just interact with that.
Interact with HTML content, Bluetooth icon, image.
And we can just press numpad 6 then to read this.
Level 1, Bluetooth help. Link, unwire your life. Use Bluetooth instead of a USB cable to connect to a printer or a keyboard. Link, about Bluetooth. Synchronize the information on your computer with your other devices. Link, setting up Bluetooth.
And we'll just do about Bluetooth just for fun in here.
Link, about Bluetooth.
And select that.
HTML content.
And interact with that.
Interact with heading level 1, about Bluetooth. Link, Bluetooth glossary of terms. Link, Bluetooth profile supported by Apple Bluetooth software. Link, what you can do using Bluetooth. Link, what you can do using Bluetooth.
Okay, let's just select that one, what you can do.
Press HTML content, interact Bluetooth icon, heading, here are some things you can do with Bluetooth-enabled devices. Connect your computer to Bluetooth-enabled mobile phones. Use Bluetooth to dial the phone, send music or photos, and synchronize data, such as contact information. Connect your computer to the internet using Bluetooth and a mobile phone. Exchange files between Bluetooth-enabled computers and devices.
Okay, you get the idea. That's how you can read the help if you have any questions about these preferences, too. All right, let's go ahead and close this help viewer.
Close button. System preferences. Window. Bluetooth. Help button.
Okay, so we are... we're back in the system preferences. Let me go ahead and show you those status menus I was talking about. You can get to them anytime, and the keyboard shortcut for that is Control F8 on the Mac. So we'll do that.
Displays menu.
Okay, and this is the displays menu. You can quickly change your display settings.
Detect displays.
You press your up and down arrow keys here to go through the menu, and then to switch to a different status menu, you use the left and right arrow keys.
Display dimmed 640x480.
So that's the display.
60 hertz.
I'll just press the right arrow key to go to the next status menu.
Menu. Time machine not configured, dimmed.
Okay, time machine, that's the built-in backup software for the Macintosh. I don't have an external hard drive, although that is something I hope to get pretty soon. And time machine is the backup software that's built into the Mac that will back up your system to an external drive. Okay, let's hit the right arrow key again.
Bluetooth menu.
There's the Bluetooth menu.
Bluetooth off, dimmed.
And it's dimmed because it's already off.
Turn Bluetooth on. Open Bluetooth preferences, ellipsis.
That would take us to where we're already at here.
Bluetooth off, dimmed.
And that's all that's in there, so let's go to the right again.
Airport is not enabled. Airport menu.
Okay, airport, that's the... wireless networking.
Airport off, dimmed. Turn airport on. Open network preferences, ellipsis. Airport off, dimmed.
Okay.
100% volume menu.
And that's the volume. If we were to take that down, that would turn the volume down, which we don't want to do that. So we'll go to the right again.
Fry 11:03 p.m. clock
menu. That's
the
date and time.
Friday, view as analog. Check mark, view as digital. Open date and time, ellipsis, displays, menu.
And we're back to the displays again. So that's the, kind of the status menus. And again, it's very similar to the system tray in Windows. So we'll hit
system
escape to get out of that.
Window, Bluetooth, help button.
And that's all for the Bluetooth preferences. So let's go back to the main system preferences window.
Window, system caps lock, off, account appearance, Bluetooth, CDs and DVDs button.
Okay, this one, it's pretty self-explanatory, but basically you can control what happens when different types of discs are inserted. I'll go ahead and show you what's here.
Window, CDs and DVDs, toolbar.
Okay, so let's see what we got here.
When you insert a blank CD, ignore insert blank CD options pop-up button. When you insert a blank DVD, ignore insert blank DVD options pop-up button.
I've got mine set to ignore most things because I don't want it to automatically do anything when I insert something. That way I can, you know, decide what I want to do, you know, once it's inserted.
When you insert a music CD, ignore insert music CD options pop-up button. When you insert a picture CD, ignore insert picture CD options pop-up button. When you insert a video DVD, ignore insert video DVD options pop-up button, help button.
That's very similar to like what the autoplay would be in Windows. Very similar to that. So pretty self-explanatory.
Window.
Okay, let's go to the next thing here.
CDs and date and time button.
Okay, date and time. Let's go in here for a minute.
Window, date and time, toolbar. Enter forward dim button. Show search.
Okay.
Stop and date and time tab 1 of 3.
Okay, this one actually has different tabs to it. So date and time we have.
Time zone selected tab 2 of 3. Clock tab 3 of 3.
Okay, so if we select the date and time tab here first.
Top date and time. Press date and time tab time clock. Set date and time automatically. Checked checkbox.
And that's usually something you'll probably want to have checked.
Apple America's US time.apple.com combo box.
And that's, you control what server it uses.
March 13th, 2009.
And that's the date.
11:06 p.m.
And that's the time.
March 13th, 2009. Dim. 11 up to set date and time formats. Use international preferences. Open international button, help button.
So that's that. Now the time zone can be a little bit tricky because what you have to do is you have to type in a city that it recognizes, and depending on what city you live in, it may or may not recognize it. I'll show you what's there. Let's go back to the top here.
Toolbar, date and time, selected tab, time zone, tab 2 of 3.
Okay, let's select time zone here.
Press time zone, tap clock, tap click your part of the world. Then choose a city from the pop-up menu. Time zone. CDT. Closest city. St. Louis, USA. Closest city.
Alex says St. Louis, but it's St. Louis. And
help button.
What you have to do there, and it may or may not recognize your city, so you may have to just type in one that's in your time zone, you know, type a major city, perhaps, that you know is in your time zone. That can be a little tricky because it doesn't always recognize every single city that you type in there. Okay, let's go ahead and go back to the main preferences.
Window, system preferences, date and top, desktop and screensaver button.
Desktop and screensaver, let's see what's in here.
System preferences, ready. Toolbar, desktop, tab 1 of 2.
Okay, let's go ahead and select that.
Press desktop tab 1 of 2. Screens, image, blank, text, Aurora, table.
And that's a table. You can select what image appears on your desktop.
Interact with table on selected. Nature.
Again, that doesn't make a whole lot of difference if you can't see it.
Stop interacting with table list button. Dim button. Change picture. Uncheck checkbox. Every 30 minutes. Dim pop-up button.
And I've got that disabled. There's no reason to change the picture if you can't see it.
Random order. Dim translucent menu bar. Unchecked checkbox. Help button.
Okay. So that's the desktop tab. Let's go ahead and look at the screensaver tab here. go ahead and go back to the top of the window. And
toolbar, desktop, selected screensaver, tab 2, press.
Select
screensaver,
that.
Tab 2 of 2.
Okay.
Screensavers.
Really, again, this is something that you'd only really need if you could see it. I believe I've disabled mine. Let's see.
Preview. Table. Use random screensaver. Uncheck checkbox. Options. Button. Test button. Show with clock. Uncheck start screensaver. 100% horizontal slider. 3. 5. 15. 30. 1 hours. 2 hour. Never.
Yeah, I've got it set to never. That's what it's set to if that slider's all the way up.
Hot corners button. Help button.
Now let's see what that options thing had up there.
3, 1, starts show with clock. A test options button. Press options. Interact with dialog for window, desktop and screensaver. Color, streams, few, many. Color, fast cycle, pop-up button. Streams, 50%, or few, many. Thickness, 50%.
Thin, okay.
Thick.
That's all.
Speed.
Advanced things that, again, we're probably not even going to need to mess with. So let's hit escape and get out of there.
Options button.
Okay.
Closing dialogue.
So that's what's in the desktop and screensaver. Again, that's mostly all the visual stuff. So let's go ahead and go back to the main list of preferences and continue.
Window, desktop displays, dock displays button.
Okay, displays.
Desktop displays.
This might be something you may want to check. Let's select that.
Window, display, toolbar, display, selected tab 1 of 2, color, tab 2 of 2.
Okay, display is probably going to be the important one. Color is probably not going to matter to you too much if you can't see it.
Resolutions.
Okay, resolutions can be important. Because, of course, this controls how much fits on your screen, how much on one line, and that type of thing.
Table.
And,
colors.
I've got mine set, I believe.
Table.
Let's see.
Interact with table on selected 1024x768. 60
yeah, 1024x768. And, of course, if you want to change that quickly, you can do that using the status menu that we used before. With the Control F8 key.
Stop intercolor millions. Pop-up button.
And that's the amount of colors.
Detect displays button. Rotate. Standard. Pop-up button. Show displays in menu bar. Checked checkbox.
And you can determine whether that shows in the status menu or not, and I've got it set to do that.
Help button.
Okay. And I'm going to skip the colors tab because that really doesn't matter too much. So let's
window,
go back
system
to
system preference, data, desktop and screensaver, displays, dock button.
Okay, the dock. Let's take a look at this.
Window, dock, toolbar, size.
Okay, you can control the size of the dock, and again, that's what's on the bottom of your screen usually.
42.6% dock size slider, horizontal slider, small, large, magnification. 100% dock magnification slider, dim magnification. Uncheck checkbox.
You can have it magnify the dock if you want to.
What min, max, position on screen.
Okay, position on screen. This is kind of interesting.
Left radio button, bottom selected radio button.
You can have the dock on the bottom, the left, the right.
Right radio button. Minimize using genie effect. Dock effect options. Pop-up button.
And dock effect options a genie effect. Let's see what else we've got in there.
Menu scale effect. Check mark. Genie effect.
I don't think it matters too much.
Genie
you can't
effect,
see it.
Dock effect.
So.
Animate opening applications. Uncheck checkbox.
Okay, animate opening applications. I unchecked that because I figured, you know, if you can't see it, you know, the CPU cycles to do that could be better used for other things. So that's something you may want to go ahead and uncheck, the animation there.
Automatically hide and show the dock. Check checkbox.
Automatically hide and show the dock. That's the dock will be hidden unless you... focus it, and you can check or uncheck that.
Help button.
Okay, so that's that. Let's go ahead and go back to the
window,
main screen.
System Bluetooth dock, energy saver button.
Energy saver. This can be interesting.
Window.
Especially if you're
energy
using a netbook.
Saver,
a laptop.
Toolbar. Sleep. Selected tab 1 of 2.
Okay, sleep is the tab here.
Options. Tab
the first
two
tab.
Two.
Now, This is just me. I don't know if it matters this much on the Mac, but it certainly can on the PC, and I guess I've kind of carried it over. I've disabled all of the power management things, because sometimes what can happen, especially with some of the hardware, when a computer goes to sleep, and then when you try to wake it up, it doesn't always wake up with everything functioning, and sometimes you end up having to reboot. So feel free to experiment with this, but my recommendation to you is that you go ahead and turn off all of these energy saver options, because they can, for some hardware, they can have some quirky effects.
Put the computer to sleep when it is inactive for blank text, never, horizontal slider.
And that's the slider you can change there.
1 min, 15 min, 1 HR, 3 HR at never. Put the display S to sleep when the computer is inactive for blank text, never, horizontal slider. 1 min, 15 min, 1 HR.
If you do want to change that, I'll show you how, though.
1 never, horizontal slider.
When you're on that horizontal slider, go ahead and interact with that.
Interact with horizontal slider. 3 hours. 2 hours, 3 hours.
And that allows you to change. I'm going to go ahead and put it back to never here.
Never.
There we go. And then once you're on the one you want, you just go ahead and stop interacting with it.
Stop interacting with horizontal slider.
Now, with the sliders on the Macintosh, VoiceOver handles it extremely well.
1 min, 15 min, 1 HR, 3 HRS. Never. Put the hard disk S to sleep when possible. Unchecked checkbox.
I've got that unchecked as well.
Help button.
Okay, let's see what's in the options tab on this one.
Toolbar. Sleep. Select options. Tab 2 of 2. Options. Selected tab 2 of 2. Wake options. Wake for Ethernet network administrator access. Unchecked checkbox.
That's kind of the wake on LAN feature. I've got that disabled too.
Other options. Allow power button to sleep the computer, unchecked checkbox. Restart automatically after a power failure, unchecked checkbox.
And that's a personal preference.
Help button.
Okay, so let's go back to the main screen here.
Window, dock, energies, expose and spaces button.
Expose and spaces is mostly visual. I'll show you what's there, but there's not a whole lot really
window,
that you can do with it, I don't
spaces.
Think.
Toolbar, expose, tab 1 of 2, spaces, select spaces lets you organize your windows into groups to reduce desktop clutter. Enable spaces, unchecked checkbox.
God, and I've got that disabled. That way everything's kind of in one place.
Show spaces in menu bar, unchecked, space 1, image, space 2, and space.
And I'll show you what's in expose.
Spaces, expose, tab 1 of 2, expose, selected active screen corners. Hyphen, top left activation options, pop-up button, screen corner image, hyphen, top right activation options, pop-up button, hyphen, bottom right activation options, pop-up button.
Okay, so it's mostly all visual things.
Window.
So let's go back to the preferences and let's see what else we've got here.
Flip for Mac WMV button.
Okay, this won't actually be on your Mac when you first get it. But Flip for Mac is basically the Windows Media Components. It allows you to play Windows Media files. So that is something you'll want to install. And just do a search on Google for Flip, F-L-I-P, the number 4, and then Mac, M-A-C, and you should find it. But that will allow you to play Windows Media movies and Windows Media audio on the Mac, which is a good thing to have. So I'll go ahead and skip that one since it won't actually come with it.
International button.
Okay, international, that's kind of like regional and language options in Windows. I'll go ahead and show you what's here on that.
Window, internet, toolbar, language, selected tab 1 of 3, formats, tab 2 of 3, input menu, tab 3 of 3, languages, table.
And you can set the language there.
Drag languages into the order you prefer for use in application menus, dialogues, and sorting. Edit list button. Order for sorted lists. English. Order for sorted lists. Pop-up button. Word break. Standard. Word break. Pop-up help button.
Okay. And let's just see what's in these other tabs.
Tool language formats tab 2 of 3.
Mac, it's kind of how you can format your date and time and that
press
type of thing.
Form input region. United States region. Pop-up button. Show all regions. Uncheck checkbox. Dates. Monday, January 5th, 2009.
And you can control how the dates.
January 5th. Tooth customize button.
Are displayed.
159.
And you can change all that if you want to. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that because the defaults will usually be fine.
Tool line for input menu. Tab
input
3.
Menu, let's see
press
what's in there.
Input menu. Input menu. Selected tab 3 of select the keyboard layouts, input methods, and palettes for the input menu. And
that's all fine. Nothing should need to be changed in there probably. So we'll go ahead and skip that as
window,
well.
Window. System. Energy.
I'm going to go ahead and speed up a little bit here because I don't want to make this too long that it actually you don't have time to listen to the whole thing. So
for internet keyboard and mouse button.
Okay, there is something I definitely want to show you in here on the keyboard and mouse. Let's definitely have a look at this one.
System preferences ready.
Okay.
Toolbar keyboard tab 1 of 3.
Let's select that.
Keyboard Bluetooth keyboard shortcuts tab 3 of 3. Key repeat rate. Delay until repeat. 83.3%.
Okay, that's something you can
slider
change if you want to.
66 slow. 66.7%. Horizontal slow. Fast. Off. Long. Short. Use all F1, F2, etc. Keys as standard function keys. Check checkbox.
Okay, that's the checkbox. You'll remember on the last podcast when I mentioned that you can configure the function keys to do software or hardware functions. If this option was not checked and you wanted to start VoiceOver, you'd have to do a command function F5. That's how you'd have to do that. So this controls whether the function keys do software functions or hardware functions like changing the volume and that type of thing. You'll usually want to leave that checked so the function keys do software functions.
When this option is selected, press the FN key to use the special features printed on each key. Modifier keys button. Help button. Help button.
Okay, so that's that.
Toolbar keyboard. Select Bluetooth tab 2 of 3.
Okay, Bluetooth. There is an interesting thing in here I want to show you.
Bluetooth selected keyboard. Bluetooth mouse. Name. Name. Dim text.
I believe it's in here. Let's see.
Battery level. Bluetooth keyboard. Name. Name. Dim tech battery level. Show Bluetooth status in menu bar. Checked checkbox.
Okay, that's the status on that.
Allow Bluetooth devices to wake this computer. Unchecked. Set up new device. Button. Set up new device. Button. Set up new device.
Okay.
Button.
There is a setting. Sometimes what will happen is the computer will pop up the Bluetooth window if there's not a mouse connected when you first get it. And there is a way to disable that. I wanted to see if that option was in here, but I guess it isn't. But that is something to be aware of, that may happen if you don't have a mouse connected. Okay, the other thing I want to show you in here.
Tool, keyboard, blue, keyboard, shortcuts, tab
keyboard
3
shortcuts.
Of 3. Keyboard shortcuts, selected tab 3 of 3.
What this is, you can actually set the keyboard shortcuts for a bunch of things. Like, you know how we were using Control F2 to go to the menu bar, Control F8 to go to the status menu. You can even change the voiceover command from Command F5 if you want to, though I wouldn't advise doing that. But if you're going to run Fusion on here and run Windows, there is a series of keys that you'll want to disable, and that is the expose keys. And I'll show you where that's at and how to disable it. Mine's already disabled, but I will show you where that's at. And this is something you may want to do anyway, just because that's a visual feature and it really offers no benefit to the blind user that I know of. So what we've got here is a table.
To change a shortcut, double-click the shortcut and hold down the new keys.
Okay.
Table.
It's a table. We just interact with that.
Interact with table on row 1. On. Uncheck checkbox. Description. Hide and show front row. Shortcut. Image. Uncheck checkbox.
Okay. Now we need to go down. What this is, it's kind of a tree, and you'll have some items that are collapsed, that are collapsed, and then if you check and uncheck that option, it will automatically check or uncheck everything in that group. So I'm going to go ahead and go down quite a bit here through this.
Checkbox. Stop interact row 10.
Let's see.
On. Uncheck checkbox. Description. Turn zoom on or off.
That's for magnification.
Row 20.
Okay.
On. Checked checkbox. Description. Move focus to the active window or next window. Shortcut. F4. Image.
So that's a nice... There's actually a lot of keyboard shortcuts for moving focus around here. But what we want to... And you can explore some of these. But what we want to get down to...
Row 27. Expanded. Row 28. On. Uncheck checkbox. Description. Dock. Expose. And dashboard. Shortcut. Image.
Yeah. Dock, expose, and dashboard. When you get to that one, it might be collapsed or expanded. But what you want to do is press the space bar on that. It may say partially checked or checked, but you want to hit space bar until it says unchecked and disable those. And the reason why is because it uses keys like, you know, F10 and that type of thing. And especially if you're running Fusion and you try to do Shift F10 to bring up the context menu in Windows, that won't work. Instead, it'll pull up the expose thing and it can cause a lot of confusion. This is something I'd say go ahead and disable. And again, it's the one that says...
Row expanded. Row 28. On. Uncheck checkbox. Description. Dock. Expose. And dashboard.
Dock, expose, and dashboard. You just go ahead and uncheck that to get rid of all those. Okay, let's go ahead and see what else we've got here that might be interesting.
Mobile, net, keyboard, and map. Mobile me button.
Mobile me. You can go in there and look at that if you have an account with that.
Network button.
Network. There may be some interesting things. Let's go ahead and take a look at that.
Window. Network. Toolbar. Location. Automatic location, pop-up services table.
Okay, the services may be important. This is where you can add and remove different things. Of course, you need to have Ethernet here probably and airport if you're using wireless. I've got, let's see.
Fire Ethernet connected. Firewire not connected. Airport off.
Yeah, and you can change these.
Ethernet.
So connected. Once you've selected the one you want.
Status. Connected. Status. Ethernet is currently active and has the IP address 71.11.156.186.
Okay.
Configure. Using DHCP. Configure.
DHCP.
Pop-up IP address.
So you can configure each one of these. Like if we were to go back to the table here and go down to airport.
Service actions. Delete service button. Add services. Table. Firewire. Airport. Off.
And now if we look at what we have.
Status. Off. Turn airport on button.
And that would turn on the Wi-Fi. So for each service, you select it, and then you can configure it accordingly. So that's kind of how the network preference works.
Window.
Okay.
Keyboard and mobile me network button. Parental controls button.
Parental controls, I'm not going to go into that too much. That's pretty self-explanatory. If you want to use that feature, it is available to you.
Print and fax button.
Print and fax. I don't have a printer, but if you do have one, that's certainly where you would go to look at that.
QuickTime button.
QuickTime, that's for the QuickTime player. You can adjust some things in there.
Security button.
Security, let's take a look at that. That's an important
window,
thing.
Security. Toolbar, General, selected tab 1 of 3, File Vault tab 2 of 3, Firewall tab 3 of 3.
Okay, General, let's see.
Require password to wake this computer from sleep or screensaver, unchecked checkbox.
That's pretty self-explanatory.
For all accounts on this computer, disable automatic login, unchecked checkbox. Require password to unlock each system preferences pane, unchecked checkbox.
And if you want to do that way it does require you to type the password each time when you go into a system preference.
Log out after unchecked checkbox.
And you can have it automatically log you out.
60. Dimmed adjuster. Minutes of inactivity. Use secure virtual memory. Unchecked checkbox. Disable remote control infrared receiver. Checked checkbox.
Yeah, I've got that disabled. I must have come in here and disabled that.
This computer will work with any available remote. Pair. Dimmed button. Click the lock to prevent further change. Click the lock to help button.
Okay.
Help button.
So there is some help on that if you want to read about those.
Tool, General, File Vault, tab 2 of
3. File Vault, what that is it allows you to encrypt certain files on your system so that it can't so that it can't be accessed. So that's something you can do if you want to. There is a built-in firewall also.
Firewall, tab 3, press.
I'll show you
firewall,
what's in there.
Select allow all incoming connections. Selected radio button 1 of 3. Allow only essential services. Radio, set access for specific services and applications. Radio button 3. Mac OS 10 normally determines which programs are allowed incoming connections. Select this option if you want to allow or block incoming connections for specific programs. Table, no selection. Interact with table blank, table.
And there's nothing in the table.
Stop, dimmed button, dimmed, advanced, dimmed button. Click the lock to prevent further changes.
So that's what's in security. Let's go ahead and go back to the preferences
here. Sound button.
Okay, sound.
Software update button, sharing button.
Actually, security. Just a couple others. Let's look at sharing button. Here. I want to show you that because you can actually get the Macintosh to talk to a Windows network if you want to.
Toolbar, computer name, Mike Arrigo's Mac Mini. Computer name, edit text. Computers on your local network can access your computer at mike-arrigos-mac-mini.local. Edit button, services table.
And let's see if we have any services here.
Row 2, row 1, on, unchecked checkbox, service, DVD or CD sharing. Row 2, on, unchecked checkbox, service, screen sharing. Row 3, on, unchecked checkbox, service, file sharing. Row 4,
I've got that disabled.
On, unchecked checkbox, service, printer sharing. Row 5, on, unchecked checkbox, service, web sharing. Row 6, on, unchecked checkbox, service, remote login. Row 7, on, unchecked checkbox, service, remote management. Row 8, on, unchecked checkbox, service, remote Apple events. Row 9, on, unchecked checkbox, service, X-Grid sharing. Row 10, on, dimmed unchecked checkbox, service, internet sharing. Row 11, on, unchecked checkbox, service, Bluetooth sharing.
Okay, so those are the choices that we've,
got here. Row 5, row 4, on,
and
unchecked
you can use
checkbox,
those
service, printer sharing.
If you wish.
Image, file sharing, off. File sharing allows other users to access shared folders on this computer and allows administrators to access all volumes, text, shared folders.
And you can...
Verticals, users, table.
And you can...
Table, add user, remove user, add shared, remove SharePoint, dim options, button. Click the lock
and
to prevent
that
further change.
If you wish. Okay.
Window.
Let's see what else we've got here.
Parental QuickTime. Secure sharing. Software update button.
Okay, software update.
Window.
This is where you can
software
configure
update.
If you do want your Macintosh to automatically check for updates. Here is where you would do it.
Toolbar. Scheduled check. Selected tab 1 of 2. Installed updates. Tab 2 of 2.
Installed updates just gives you a history of what's been installed. The scheduled check tab is going to be what you'd probably be interested in.
Software update checks for new and updated versions of your software based on information about your computer and current software. Check now button.
And we did that earlier.
The last check. No new software updates were available. Friday, March 13th, 2009, 10th check for updates. Uncheck checkbox.
And that's the checkbox you could check if you wanted to do it automatically.
Weekly. Pop up, download important updates automatically, dimmed check checkbox. You will be notified when the updates are ready to be installed. Help button.
Okay, so you can set that if you wish.
Window, system, parental, print, quick, secure, sharing, software up, sound button.
Okay, sound, that can be important. Let's see
window,
what we've got there.
Sound, toolbar. Toolbar, sound effects, tab 1 of 3.
Sound effects, so you can kind of play with that if you want to. That controls like the error beeps and that type of thing.
Output, tab 2 of 3.
Output, that's kind of like in Windows, well, it's like the speaker stuff. You can set what's used for the output and the volume.
Input, selected tab 3 of 3.
Input, and that's what's selected, so I'll show you what's here on that.
Choose a device for sound input.
And I've probably got that set to my USB microphone, I'm sure.
Table.
Let's see.
One row selected. Row 2. Name. C Media USB headphone set. Type USB.
Okay.
Settings for the selected device. Input level. Input volume. Dimmed image. 100% input volume.
That's the volume.
Dimmed image. Help button.
So that's the and the output's the same way. Now I've got that set for the output for the speakers.
Window.
Okay, we are nearing the end here of the system preferences.
Software sound speech button.
Speech is where you can set the default voice. Now, that's not for voiceover. That's separate. But you can set what voice if you have it, like announce the time and that type of thing, which you can do. There are some options in there, and you can get a sample of each voice also. And that can be fun to play with. Some of the voices are quite humorous.
Spotlight button.
Spotlight has to do with a search. It's kind of like the search in Windows, where you can type in something and the Mac will search and find it for you. Some voiceover users use that. I don't, just because I kind of know where everything is, but it is available if you want to use it, and it is accessible. It works very well.
Startup disk button.
Startup disk, if you use Boot Camp, you can go in and change that, determine what the default operating system is, either the Mac OS or Windows.
Time machine button.
Time machine is where you configure the backups that we were talking about earlier.
Universal access button.
Universal access, this can be interesting. Let's go in there.
Window, universal access, toolbar. When using this computer, I would like assistance with seeing, selected tab 1 of 4.
Seeing, okay, so that's...
Hearing, tab 2, keyboard, tab 3 of 4.
There is a keyboard setting I want to show you, but meantime...
Mouse, tab 4, voiceover. Turn voiceover on or off, F5.
That's command F5.
On, selected radio button 1 of 2.
Definitely.
Off, radio button 2 of 2. Open voiceover utility button, zoom. Turn zoom on or off, 8. On, radio button 1 of off, selected zoom in, zoom out, options, button, display, switch to white on black, 8, black on white, selected radio button 1 of 2.
And you can change that, so it does have some features too for partially sighted users.
Use grayscale, unchecked checkbox, white on black, radio, enhanced contrast, 0%, horizontal slider, normal, maximum, reduce contrast, increase contrast.
And you got quite a few options there. Okay, I want to show you that there's a keyboard setting in here I want to show you.
Toolbar. When you seeing, so here, keyboard, selected tap mouse. For difficulties pressing more than one key at a time. Sticky keys. On, radio button 1 of 2. Off, selected radio button 2 of 2. Treats a sequence of modifier keys as a key combination. Press the shift key 5 times to turn sticky keys on or off. Unchecked checkbox. Beep when a modifier key is set. Checked checkbox. Display pressed keys on screen. Unchecked checkbox. For difficulties with initial or repeated keystrokes. Slow keys. On. Radio button 1 of 2. Off. Select puts a delay between when a key is pressed and when it is accepted. Use click key sounds. Checked checkbox. Acceptance delay. 50 point long.
Okay, I think there's an option in here.
Short key repeat delay.
That I wanted
set
to show you.
Let's turned off in keyboard preferences. Set key repeat button. Help button. Enable access for assistive devices. Uncheck show universal access status in the menu bar. Uncheck checkbox. Show universal access status in the menu bar. Uncheck checkbox.
Okay, that may have actually been in the keyboard. There's a setting. Well, actually, with VoiceOver, you won't have to worry about it because. There's a setting that controls whether the tab and the shift tab and that type of thing go to all controls or just like lists. But actually when VoiceOver's running, it's the tab and shift tab are set to always go to every control. So actually that won't even be an issue. So, okay, that's what's in Universal Access. So you got quite a few options there actually that are built in. So again, Apple did a good job on that. All right, let's see if there's anything else in System Preferences I wanted to show you.
Time machine universe back button.
Okay, that's it. Great. Let's go ahead and do Command Q and exit out of here.
Quit Finder Macintosh HD selected.
Okay. What I want to show you now is one preference in Finder that will come in very handy, and that is to show the file extensions on your files. This is a setting to save my life. I do not understand why the Mac OS or Windows, either one of them, default to this, to not showing you the file extensions on files. I just, try as I might, I cannot understand the logic behind that. It makes absolutely no sense. But the Mac will probably come defaulted to not showing you the extensions on your files, like .app, app for applications, or .mp3, something like that. So you'll definitely probably want to configure that so it does show them. And here's how you do it. On the desktop, or really any Finder window, as long as you're in the Finder, let's go to the menu bar.
Menu bar, Apple.
Control F2. Okay, right arrow.
Finder.
To the Finder menu, and let's go ahead and open that with down arrow. We want to go to Preferences and press Enter.
Finder. About Finder. Preferences. Ellipsis.
There we go.
Command. Macintosh HD. Selected. Dialog. Preferences. Finder Preferences.
Okay. I don't think there's a whole lot in the general tab here that's
toolbar.
Of interest. Let's see.
Interact with Layout General button.
But let's see.
Stop show all file extensions. Checked. Checked. Toolbar.
Well, I'm actually in advanced, I think.
Interact Layout General
button. Which we'll get to
button.
In a minute.
Press General.
And that's
button.
Where that setting is. But
stop show hard external disks. Hard disks. Checked. Checked. Show these items on the desktop. Hard disks. Checked. Checkbox. External disks. Checked. Checkbox. CDs. DVDs. And iPods, checked, checkbox.
This just controls what shows on your desktop, what disks.
Connected servers, unchecked, new Finder windows open, home, pop-up button.
That's what new Finder windows when you do a Command-N in the Finder.
Always open folders in a new window, unchecked, checkbox.
Always open folders in a new window, you'll probably want to uncheck that, actually. That way you don't have a bunch of windows open each time you open a new folder. It opens in the same window.
Spring-loaded folders and windows, unchecked checkbox.
That's a visual effect. You can uncheck that and save yourself a few CPU cycles, maybe.
Delay, 50%. Dimmed horizontal slider.
And it's dimmed because it's unchecked.
Short, meet long. Press spacebar to open immediately. Press spacebar to open Press spacebar
to
open.
So to get to the option we're interested in, we need to go to that toolbar at the top.
Toolbar.
Okay. And we interact with that.
Interact with toolbar.
And we go to
four
advanced.
Items, labels, sidebar, advanced button.
And we select that.
Press advanced button.
Okay, now go ahead and we stop interacting with that toolbar.
Stop interacting with toolbar.
And then we'll see the checkbox that we need here.
Show all file extensions, checked checkbox.
That'll probably be unchecked when you first get your Macintosh, so you'll want to go ahead and check that option. And that way everything will show for you.
Show warning before changing an extension, checked checkbox.
And that's up to you if you want to leave that checked or not.
Show warning before emptying the trash, checked checkbox. Empty trash securely, unchecked checkbox.
Empty trash securely, what that'll do is instead of just deleting everything, it'll just it'll write zeros to it, or basically so it can never be recovered.
Zoom using trackpad, unchecked checkbox. Zoom using trackpad, unchecked
okay.
Checkbox.
So that's how that works. So that's how you can get the file extensions. Again, you go to the menu bar, go to the Finder menu, choose Preferences, and then you interact with the toolbar, select Advanced, and then check the option that says to show all file extensions.
Checkbox.
Okay. So let's go ahead and Command-W out of here and close this window.
Macintosh HD selected.
Okay, now what if we want to change the program that opens a file, the file association on the Mac? Okay, well, a good example of that would be MP3s. There's a couple of programs that I have currently on here that'll play MP3s, namely QuickTime and iTunes. So if we want to change that, here's how we do that. Let's go ahead and open the hard drive, and I will go to my MP3 folder. So we're sitting on the hard drive. We'll do a Command-O to open that.
Window, Macintosh HD, table.
Okay, by the way, when you first get your Mac too, a lot of the windows will probably be like in an icon view or something like that. If they are, hold the Command key and press the number 2 on the regular row of numbers. That will switch you to a list view, and once you do that for each window, it should remember it. So in my case, it's already set that way, but...
As list.
As list, it says. That's another cool thing about VoiceOver. A lot of the keys automatically speak, even in applications, for what they do. It automatically just speaks the label for it, which is another really nifty VoiceOver feature. Anyway, we're in the hard drive here, and I want to get to the MP3 folder. So I think if I just type MP, I should get there. Let's see.
Collapsed. Row 4. Name. MP3. Selected.
And it's collapsed, which means I could just press the right arrow and open it and view it in this window, but I'll go ahead and actually open the folder. You know, so that's all we're viewing here.
Open 253 rows added.
All right. So if I highlight one of these.
Row 1. Name. Up row 2. Name. ABC. Be near. ME.MP3.
Okay. Now there's a couple of ways we can get to the window we need for this. I believe we can do it in the file menu, but I think Command I for get info will do the trick. Let's see.
Get dialog info.
Yes.
ABC. Be near.
Okay. Now this you'll definitely want to use your VoiceOver cursor to read because there's a lot of intervening text. And I'll tell you when we get to the item that we're interested in, as far as changing the changing that that option. So let's go to the top of the window here with Numpad 7.
Finder has new window. Scroll area. Scroll
okay,
area.
Okay, it's that scroll area that contains everything we need. So we need to go ahead and interact with that.
Interact with scroll area.
Okay.
For ABC, but ABC. Be near ME.MP3, 3.3 megabytes. Modified, October 22nd, 2006, 9:46 a.m. Spotlight comments, expanded disclosure triangle. Edit text blank.
And you can put a comment in there for a spotlight search if you wish.
General, expanded disclosure triangle.
When it says expanded disclosure triangle, that's it's kind of equivalent to like a tree view or something to that effect. Is what that is.
Kind, MP3 audio file. Size, where, MP3, created. Modified, Sunday, October 22nd, 2006, 9:46 a.m. Label, no label, checked checkbox. Red label, unchecked checkbox. Orange label, unchecked checkbox.
That's just the color, you can change that.
Yellow label, unchecked checkbox. Green label, unchecked
checkbox. I'm going to skip past these colors.
Blue, purple, gray, stationary pad, unlocked, unchecked check. More info, expanded disclosure triangle. Name and extension, expanded disclosure
this
triangle.
This should be what we're interested in.
ABC, be near, ME.MP3, edit text. Hide extension, unchecked checkbox.
I don't think so. You can actually set that for individual files, though.
Open with expanded disclosure triangle.
Here we go.
iTunes.app, pop-up button.
Okay, open, and so we could change this individual file, what it opened with. Now, what you would do here, if you wanted to change that, you would select this pop-up button.
iTunes.app, menu.
And let's see what other choices we've got here.
iTunes.app, QuickTime. Player.app, other, ellipsis.
And other, that would allow you to select it manually, but...
Checkmark, iTunes.app.
And that's what I want. If you wanted to change it, you would simply select the one you want here and press return on that. And I'll go ahead and do that here. I mean, it's already checked. It's not going to change anything. But let's say iTunes wasn't the default. That's the one I want. Once you're on the one you want, you press enter.
iTunes.app.
And then, if you move your VoiceOver cursor to the next item...
Use this application to open all documents like this. Change all, dim button.
And it's dimmed because it's already set that way, but if you had changed it, that would not be dimmed. Then you'd select that option there, that change all, and then that would associate it, that application with every file that has that extension. So that's that's how you can change the file extension or the file association for different extensions.
Preview.
Okay,
expanded.
Let's go ahead and close this.
Table.
And I'll go ahead and close
Macintosh
these windows.
HD selected.
Okay, let's go ahead and install a couple of applications. And I'll show you, there's actually two different ways that applications are usually installed. One of them is the file is downloaded and the application is just copied into the Applications folder. So to do this, I've already got this installed, but it'll still be a good example. I mentioned last time, I think, that WebKit is it's actually the engine that the Safari browser uses, and they fixed a lot of the accessibility issues in the newest builds of the WebKit application. And when you install that, it still uses the Safari browser, but it uses the new WebKit engine. So let's go ahead and hop on the web here, and we will download that. And then the other thing I'm going to download to show you how this works is the newest Adobe Flash Player for the Mac. Now, Flash, unfortunately, currently on the Mac, is not accessible. Adobe does not see fit to add voiceover support to it. They don't think there's enough users, which, shame on them, as far as I'm concerned on that. So you might be wondering, well, why download the newest version? Well, because sometimes there are videos or audio files on pages that are Flash, and those, of course, will still play. It's just that the content, you know, you won't be able to see. And a lot of times, really, it's not accessible anyway, because even in Windows, a lot of times all you hear is button, 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 and it doesn't say anything. So we're not missing out on a whole lot, really, as far as that goes. But you know, it's still a good idea to have, because sometimes there's a video or audio file on a page. So let's go ahead and open up WebKit. To do that, we'll go down to the dock.
System Preferences, WebKit.
And press Enter.
Finder, Macintosh HD, HTML content.
And this will give you an idea, too, somewhat, a little more of how VoiceOver works on the web. I know I've done that, you know, some on each podcast, but I know that's a huge, you know, interest for everybody, so this will give you a little more of a taste of that. Okay, we need to go to webkit.org is the site we need to get to, so we'll do a Command-L here.
HTTP colon.
And we'll type that in.
Selection, space,
G. Press Enter.
HTML content.
And we need to get to the download
interact
link.
Interact with a heading level 2. Welcome to the website for the WebKit open source project. WebKit is an open link.
I'm just going to
Safari
tab through this
link. KHT link. KD link. S link. S60 WebKit period. Link. Download the latest nightly build.
That's what we want. You just select that here.
HTML content.
And we need the Mac OS X.
Interact. Link. Download WebKit for Mac OS X.
That's what we want. And select that.
Press. Window. Downloads. List.
And
no
that's
selection.
A list. Download window. Kind of like what Firefox does in Windows, actually. But if we interact with this.
Interact with list. File icon. Show in Finder. Stop. WebKit dash. File icon. File icon. Interact. 10.10.10.11.11.11.12.12.12.13. WebKit
okay.
dash. SV. 44. Web. File icon. WebKit. 15.15.15.
And it stutters as it updates.
SVN-R415.
It's going pretty fast. I'll go ahead and stop that. Just about done.
19.20.20.2 of 20.2 megabytes. Dimmed group.
And once it says dimmed group, you know, then you know it's done because it's not updating anymore. So we can do Command W and close this download window.
Close window.
Okay. While I'm already on the web, let's go grab the newest Flash Player for the Mac also. So to do that, we do Command L and we're off to Adobe.com.
HTML content.
Okay. And we interact with
HTML
that.
HTML content. HTML
Let's see
content.
What we've got here.
Interact, link, GN, Adobe image, link, GN, search, adobe.com, edit text, search button, link, your account, link, your cart, link, contact.
I don't know, this page has quite a bit of stuff on it. Let's just see if we can find what we need here. I'm not sure if it's downloads or Flash Player. Let's just pop up the item chooser menu here.
Building item chooser menu. Item chooser menu, 79 items.
Okay, let's just see if there's anything for Flash first. Just type in like the first couple of letters, FLA.
Three items. Link, Flash Professional. Link, get Adobe Flash Player.
Ah, thank you. That's the link we want. Press Enter.
Link, get Adobe Flash Player.
And it doesn't automatically activate. If it's a link, you know, of course, it's a list of all items in the item chooser menu, but it doesn't automatically activate it if it's a link. What it does do is it moves your VoiceOver cursor to it, and that way you can get some, you know, context before you actually go there. But this is definitely what we want, so
link.
Go ahead
link.
And
get Adobe Flash Player.
Go ahead and select
press
that.
HTML content.
And
interact link. GN.
Let's see if this site's designed in a way that we can just go to the next heading and skip this junk at the top.
Heading level 1, Adobe Flash Player. Adobe Flash Player image. Heading level 2, download Adobe Flash Player. Heading level 4, 2 items. Adobe Flash Player, Macintosh OS 10. Link, different operating system or browser. Link, learn more. Vertical line. Link, system requirements. Vertical, link, distribute Flash Player. Vertical, link, installation instructions. Adobe Flash Player version 10.0.22.87. Universal binary for max vertical align 5.5 megabytes.
Okay, that's a pretty short download.
Browser, Safari, Firefox, Opera. Download time estimate, 7 minutes at 56k modem. Link, agree and install now. By clicking the agree and install, you agree to the.
Okay.
Link, soft period. Link, careers.
Okay,
period.
That's what we want.
You agree by click. Link, agree and install. Press, HTML, window, downloads.
Okay.
List.
And what this does,
section.
It's just doing the download like it did before for the WebKit. In your home folder, which your home folder, of course, is very similar to in Windows, you know, the documents and settings / your name, essentially. There is a folder called Downloads, and that's where it stores. That's where it stores these. So let's see if this is done.
List, down, list, list.
Down. I believe it
Zoom
is because we
down.
Can't interact
list.
With it, so it should be done. So, all right, let's go ahead and close out of here with actually Command W to close this download window, and then we can actually Command Q out of the browser.
Finder.
All right, let's go to the home folder, and the Mac has a shortcut for that. It's Command-Shift-H.
Home, window, Mike Arrigo, table.
All right,
table.
And we can get to downloads, probably with just like a typing D-O-W probably will do the trick, because there's a couple letter folders in here that have D-O, like documents and that type of thing. So if we do a D-O-W.
Collapsed, row 8. Name, downloads, selected.
There we go. Let's go ahead and open that.
Open in this window. Row 1. Name, about row 2.
Okay.
Name, install underline flash underline player underline os underline ub.dmg.zip selected zip archive. Date
and
modified.
That's a zip archive, okay.
Row 3. Name, webkit-svn-r41545.dmg.
Okay.
Selected disk image.
Let me explain to you a little bit what these extension there, DMG, which is usually what you'll see with the Mac, it's a disk image. And what this is, when you open it, what it does is it mounts another disk on your desktop. It's basically like a virtual disk, is what it is, a disk image. And, you know, then you can access whatever files are in that virtual disk. And in this case, there's just one in the WebKit one, and it's called webkit.app. Is what it's called, and what we do is we just copy that to the applications folder. In this case, there's no, you know, installer to run, there's no shared files to register, none of that stuff. It's just a much cleaner, much better design. So let's go ahead and open up this disk image.
Row 3.
And we just open that here with Command-O.
Open. System has new window.
And it takes a second to mount it, to mount the disk image.
Icon view, webkit.
And it defaults to icon view, so we'll do Command 2 here to switch to list view.
Table.
And that switches to our familiar table for navigating files.
Row 1. Name, webkit.app. Selected application, date modified, March 10th, 2009.
Okay, so that's what we want. There's just one here, so we just need to do a Command C here to copy that.
Copy webkit.app.
It says copy webkit.app. Now we can go ahead and close this virtual disk image window with Command W.
Table.
And we're back in the downloads folder now. We can close that also for now.
Macintosh HD.
Okay, so to get to the applications folder, again, there's a keyboard shortcut for that. It's Command Shift A. So we'll just do that. It takes a second
window,
to open here.
Applications, table.
All right. And now we just do a command V to paste. Now, I've already got this installed. So what it's going to ask me is, do I want to replace it? But of course, if you didn't already have, you know, an application and you were installing it for the first time, it would not ask you that. It would copy over and you'd be all set. You could then, you know, run it, you know, from here, or you could also put it in your dock. And, I'll show you how to do that actually, also. So let's go ahead and, do command V here.
Paste item, copy.
Now,
replace button, stop button, stop.
I'll just tell it to stop here. There's no reason to copy this because it'll take a little bit to copy. Well, a few seconds, but there's no sense in doing this because I've already got it. But again, if you were doing this with an app you didn't already have, of course, it would copy over and it would be in the folder. So I'm just going to select stop here for now.
Table.
Okay. Okay, let's go ahead and close this, but that's how that's done. And, of course, if you wanted to uninstall an app, then you would simply come in here and find the app that you wanted to get rid of, and you'd hold the command key and press, well, on the Macintosh, it's the backspace key. Actually, let me see what VoiceOver officially calls this. Let me do the keyboard help.
Starting keyboard help. Delete.
Okay, VoiceOver calls it delete.
Stopping keyboard.
But it's help. It's the... where the backspace key would be, actually, when you'll make a mistake and you want to erase the last thing you wrote. So it's not the delete key that's on, like, the six key part of the keyboard. It's the backspace key, but on the Mac it's called delete. But you do command delete there, and that will then just put the app in the trash, and then you delete that, and then you empty the trash. And then the only other thing you may have to delete is the... preferences file that it creates, which is, you know, in the appropriate preferences folder, and then the app is uninstalled. That's it. There's no, you know, do you want to remove the shared file and all this? None of that. It's just much easier, much cleaner. Okay, so let's go ahead and close out of this application folder for now.
Macintosh HD select.
And I will show you how to put an application on the dock so you can launch it quicker. Actually, before I do that, let me eject this virtual disk. Again, you know, these DMG files, when you open them, it mounts as if it's an actual disk on your desktop. So if we look here, I'll have the hard drive.
Macintosh HD.
And then
selected.
I'll have...
WebKit selected.
WebKit, which is that virtual disk. So we'll just do Command E to eject that.
It's zero items selected.
There we go. Okay, and that gets rid of that. And I'll put that... DMG file in the trash when we go back in there to do the flash one in a minute. Okay, so let's go ahead and go down to the dock.
WebKit.
And what I will do here is, well, we'll go to WebKit. Okay. And
WebKit.
If we press the down arrow key here.
Menu. Remove from dock. Open at login. Show in Finder, open.
And that's the last item, okay, in the bottom. So if we do remove from dock.
Show open, remove from dock.
Okay, there we go. Press enter there.
Finder, blank, list. Macintosh HD
okay.
Selected.
And now it's no longer in the dock.
Finder, running.
Okay,
Finder.
So if I want to bring that back, which I do.
HD, selected.
What we actually have to do is... open it first, and then once it's running, then it'll be listed down there and indicate that it's running, and then we'll tell it to keep it in the dock. So to do that, let's go back to the Applications folder again with the Command-Shift-A.
Applications. Window. Applications.
And
table.
We should just be able to hit the W-E, and that should get us to it.
Table.
Let's see.
One row selected. Row 53. Name, webkit.app.
There we go. Do Command O to open that.
Open. Table. Safari. Window. Thank you for testing WebKit.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay. Let's Command Tab back to Finder here and close this application folder window.
Finder, Clip Macintosh HD,
okay.
Selected.
Now if we go back down to the dock,
Finder, running.
And we press a W,
WebKit, running.
It indicates it's running. So now we press the down arrow key again.
Menu, check mark, thank you for testing WebKit.
And that's the window that it's got open.
New window, keep in dock.
We do keep in dock. So we'll just press enter there.
Finder, Macintosh HD,
there we go.
Selected.
Okay, now we can Command Q out of the browser. We can Command Tab back to it.
WebKit, Macintosh.
Command Tab
HD
is
selected.
Basically it's the equivalent of Alt Tab in Windows. So
WebKit.
We'll do that, and now we do Command Q to close it.
Finder, Macintosh.
Command Q for quit, of course. And now if we go back to the dock,
Finder, running.
Hit W.
WebKit.
And it's back down there. So
Finder.
Now you can get to it that way now without having to open it, having to go to the applications folder first. All right. So that's how you one way that you can install an application. Now sometimes if to install something it does have to copy several files, a lot of programs will actually come with what's called an install package. And what it is, it's not so much an installer like in Windows, because again, there is no registry and there is no shared files really or anything like that. What it essentially is just a script that copies the files to the different places, kind of like what was going on earlier with when we installed the iTunes update, with the software update. Very similar almost to like a batch file in some ways, because it's just copying the files to different places. So let's go back to the home folder, and that was also a zip file, so you'll be able to see how the Mac does zip files now, too. So we do a Command-Shift-H here to open the home folder.
Home. Window, Mike Arrigo, table.
All right, and we do DOW for downloads.
Collapsed, row 8. Name, downloads.
Okay, and we do
selected
open
folder.
That.
Open in this window.
There we go.
Row 1.
All right, first
name.
Thing I'm going to do is go ahead and delete this WebKit one, because we're done with that.
Row 3. Name, WebKit-SVN-R41, move to trash.
There we go. Okay,
Finder
now usually
new.
How the Macintosh handles a zip file, it will extract it and create a folder underneath where you're at. So in this case, within the downloads folder, it'll create a folder containing those the items in the zip archive, and that'll be a DMG also, most likely, I think. So let's go ahead and
row 2, name install underline flash underline player underline NOS under Finder window downloads table.
Okay, so let's see what we've got here now.
Row 1, name, about, row 2, row 1, row 2, name, install flash player 10, ub.dmg, selected disk image, date modified, row 3, name, install underline flash underline player underline nos underline ub.dmg.zip, selected.
Okay, it doesn't actually create a new folder unless there's a folder in the archive, the zip archive itself, okay. Or actually, I'm not sure if there has to be a folder, or maybe if there's more than one file if it creates a folder. I'm not actually sure on that. Because most of the time, what it does, I think if there's more than one file, actually, then it creates a folder. Otherwise, it just extracts it in the same folder. In this case, it's just one file, the disk image. Let me go ahead and put this zip file in the trash now, because we don't need that anymore.
Row 3. Name, install underline flash underline player underline NOS underline ub.dmg.zip, move to trash.
Delete that. And we'll empty the trash here when this is all done. Okay, so now we've got another DMG file, a disk image.
Row 2. Name, install flash player 10.
And you probably know what we're going to do now. Right. Command O to open it.
Open. System has new. Window, install Flash Player 10 UB, icon view, Adobe Flash, player.pk.
Okay, let's go ahead and switch that to a list view.
Table, row 1, name, Adobe Flash, player.pkg, selected installer package, date modified, February 5th, 2009, 9:12 p.m., size, 5.8 megabytes, sort button, installer package.
See, it's just any PKG, that's an install package, and there is a program on the Mac that handles that. It's called Installer, basically. So we'll go ahead and go through this and update the Flash Player here on here. So to open that, again, it's Commando. We'll do the trick.
Open. Installer. Window. Install Adobe Flash Player. Welcome to the Adobe Flash Player Installer.
Okay, and we can just read this window. And the good thing is, pretty much every program that uses an install package like this will be this way. So let's just go ahead and zap to the top of the window and go ahead and read it.
Welcome to the Adobe Flash Player Installer. Image. Introduction. Install Adobe Flash Player for all browsers. Image. Destination select.
This is just the different steps.
Image. Installation type. Image. Installation. Image. Summary. Go back. Dim button. Continue button. Continue.
And that's
button.
The bottom of the window, so we'll just select that.
Prep. Volume selection. Scroll area.
Okay.
Select a destination.
And we only have one, but...
Select the volume where you want to install the Adobe Flash Player software. Progress indicator. Image. Introduction. Image. Destination select. Volume selection. Scroll area.
Okay, I don't know if we need to interact with that or not. Let's see.
Interact with volume selection. Scroll area. Button. Dim button. Macintosh HD button.
That's what we want. Let's go ahead and select that.
Press Macintosh HD button. 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 Dim button.
Okay.
Stop interacting with volume selection. Image. Installation type. Image. Installation. Image. Summary. Installing this software requires 12.9 megabytes of space. You have chosen to install this software on the volume Macintosh HD.
Mm-hmm.
Go back button. Continue button. Press continue button.
All right.
Standard install on Macintosh HD. Image introduction. This will take 12.9 megabytes of space on your computer. Click install to perform a standard installation of this software on the volume Macintosh HD. Text. Image. Destination select. Image. Installation type. Image. Installation. Image. Summary. Change install location. Button. Go back. Button. Install. Button.
Okay, some programs, if you can customize it, you know, and choose to install or not to install certain parts, it will give you a choice for a custom install. This doesn't. It only has one way to do it. Some install packages may give you a choice for a custom install, but this one, it's just one thing. So we'll go ahead and select install here.
Go back button. Authentication. Window. Secure edit text.
And it does ask you to authenticate here again for the password, so do that and press enter.
Installer. Window. Install Adobe Flash Player. Installing. Image.
I'll just read
introduction.
This we'll see what...
Image. Destination select.
And it's already done. So.
Installation completed successfully. Image. Introduction. Text. Image. Destination select. Image. Image. Installation type. Image. Installation. Image. Summary. Install blank. Install succeeded. Blank. The software was successfully installed. Go back. Dim button.
We can't go back. It's dimmed because it's already done.
Close button.
And we just select close here.
Press Finder.
And
window.
There we are. It's done. So that's how applications are installed. Some of them, again, you just have a .app file, and that's why it's important to see the file extensions, too, so you know what you're dealing with. And that just goes into the applications folder, and some of them actually have an install package that just runs a script that copies the files to the appropriate places. Okay, so we can go ahead and... eject this, we can go ahead and eject that virtual disk from our desktop
table.
Here.
Macintosh HD, install Mac, install Flash Player 10UB, selected,
D there.
Eject, zero items selected.
And now we can go ahead
Home.
And move that to the trash
window.
As well.
Mike Arrigo, collapsed, row 8, name, open in this window,
that.
Row 1, row 2. Name, install Flash Player 10UB.dmg, select move to trash.
Okay, then we can do a command W to close this.
Zip blank.
And then we'll go ahead and empty the trash. To do that, command option shift delete will do the trick.
Empty trash. Dialog, empty trash, zero items selected.
And there we go. And that takes care of the files that we downloaded and no longer need. So those are deleted. One other thing I wanted to cover, I think I did forget to mention this in my iTunes podcast. How to actually expand the list of the radio stations, how to expand that tree of stations so you can actually get to once you're in the categories, how to expand it so you can actually see the stations. The way you do that is when you're sitting on it and it says collapse, first try your right arrow key. If that doesn't work, what you actually have to press is Control Option. Hold those keys down. That's kind of the voiceover command. Hold those keys down, Control Option, and press backslash. And it should expand that then. And then you can actually arrow through the different radio stations. Sorry about that. I guess I forgot to mention that in the iTunes podcast. Anyway, that's all for this one. I think I covered everything that I wanted to in this one. As always, always appreciate the comments. Love hearing from everybody, and it's really great. I've heard from several people who have said how much they enjoy these podcasts, and because of that, some of them have actually purchased the Macintosh, and that's awesome. It makes it all worth it, and certainly keep those comments coming. They are much appreciated, and it makes it all worthwhile as far as I'm concerned. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is my ham radio call, which is N0OXY, so it's N as in Nancy. Actually, since I am a ham, I guess I better use the proper phonetic, huh? November. N0OXY at charter, charter, .net. Alrighty. So everybody take care, and hope to talk to everyone soon. I'm sure we will have a podcast number 8 sometime soon.